Calm down, children. As we've just been praying in the vestry, what a privilege it is to come and to worship our Lord of Lords and our King of Kings. And a few verses from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. And as we think of those words, we come and sing number 1086, Light of the World, you step down into darkness. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we've just sung together, you're altogether lovely, you're altogether worthy. Lord, we adore you and we praise you. We bring our praises in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. We come this morning because we want to praise you for the way that he demonstrated your merciful love, your gentle touch upon our lives, that he came as light for all your people of every age and in every place. We praise you for his coming to set us free, to open blind eyes, to heal broken hearts and lives, for his readiness to enter into all that life in this world means to us, that we, by your grace, might share all that heaven is in him. We praise you and thank you for the way that he identified himself with us. He entered into our pain, our rejection, our sorrow, our hopes. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for accepting his sacrifice on the cross at the price of healing of our relationship with you. Praise you even more that through his resurrection, he has guaranteed our share in his eternal kingdom. Lord, as we confess, our praises are limited by time and space and by our human weakness. But by your grace, enable us and empower us that we shall be with you and praise you forever in Christ. We thank you that he is the true light. We confess that we often try to light our own way with worldly solutions that fade away. So today, Lord, again, we turn to you. When doubts creep in, remind us that your light transforms. Help us to fix our gaze on you. Not just as a guide, but as the source of all hope and strength, so that we can reflect your glory in our lives. Lord Jesus, you are the light of the world. When we feel lost or in darkness, be our light and our path. Help us to follow you so that we won't walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Shine your truth into our hearts and guide our every steps. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We continue as we sing number 111, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
Lovely verse, isn't it? Oh, still, small voice of calm. And that's what we need, isn't it, in this world? That still voice of calm. And as we come to our reading this morning, as we hear again from God's word, as he does speak through the earthquake, wind and fire of our lives and through those that would come and listen to his word, the passage that we have today is Jesus preaching during the Feast of Booths. And if you remember, I talked about the Feast of Booths when we celebrated harvest last month. It's also known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And it comes at another time when Jesus comes into conflict with the local religious leaders. At the Feast of Booths, it's a major festival. Lamps would be lit using wicks made from the priestly garments. I did do some research to make sure the priests weren't still wearing their garments. Many of us have seen the clip on YouTube where the priest sets fire to himself during one Advent lighting the candles. But no, this was a festival that they would do, and every priest was safe. Here we see that Jesus makes his second I am statement using the analogy of light, and that's a common theme that we see throughout, particularly the New Testament and particularly through John's writings. And as we think about light for a Jewish person, that's the representation of salvation and knowledge and goodness. But as we hear from this passage, the conversation will become more and more heated as Jesus' opponents become enraged, that they attempt to kill him right there and then. And so I'll ask Louise, big build-up Louise, if you come and give us our reading. Thank you.
A reading from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20, which can be found on page 1073 in our church Bible. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. Thanks be to God.
Feel the tension in his words, can't you, as he's challenged yet again by the Pharisees. For Jesus to claim that he was the light of the world was no small thing. And he's claiming his equality with God. And if we were to read it in the Greek, this passage, he claims to be the light, not merely a light. He is the light. Christ explicitly claims he is the single, solitary source of light. And those who follow Christ in truth may stumble into darkness, but they will never perpetually walk in it. Light illuminates and uncovers. The only way to stay in darkness is to avoid the light entirely. And so we'll think about that after we've sung number 400, "Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us."
Oh.
I love that hymn because in that last verse we've got two of the words that we've been talking about in our Advent studies, joy and peace, over the last couple of weeks. So let's come to the Lord in prayer as we prepare ourselves to hear his word. Father God, thank you. Thank you that you speak to us in so many different ways. Thank you that we can recognize you in everything that we seek to do for you. As we come now, that privilege, Lord, to come in freedom to hear your word, bless us. Open our hearts to receive you, that, Lord, we would go out as lights for you. Amen. So those words that we all love to hear, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. She says between gritted teeth. 2 weeks and it's the first Sunday in Advent. Yay! Some of you know that the Christmas lights went on in Wickham last night. Yay, for those of you who were there. Oxford Circus and Regent Streets have been on since early November. Boo. And Trafalgar Square will go on at the beginning of December in case anybody's interested. There's that saying, isn't there? There's the light at the end of the tunnel. We may doubt that as we continue to get bombarded with the negative, as we look out and as we journey through a world that is in great darkness. And we can't fail but notice that the commerciality of Christmas has indeed started. The first Christmas advert was the 1st of November. I don't think they went as early as October, did they? I think I'm pretty sure it was the 1st of November, the first one. But who knows? But as we think about it, it's tinged, isn't it, with uncertainty, with confusion and already exhaustion. And we haven't had the budget yet. I am the bringer of good news this morning. Because it's all okay. It's all okay. God is moving, and so should we. However, as humankind, it does all make us begin to wonder what the future holds and how we can get out of this dark place that we often find ourselves in. As I was listening to the radio earlier, someone said that they wish they could hibernate between October and late March. I went, amen, sister. As problems and as worries, as fears and uncertainty threaten to overwhelm, it might feel like being in a cave. You can tell that I was in a cave last week while I was on holiday. Because if you've been in one, as you know, as you go deeper and deeper into a cave, the darkness of the cave becomes a bit unnerving, almost overpowering. And it's great relief when you return back to the surface and the light of day to find that the tide hasn't come in. But that experience is a stark reminder of how oppressive darkness can be and how much each one of us needs light. We live in a world that is made dark by sin, a world that has turned against its creator, and we need the light, capital L. Jesus, who came to restore all of creation as God intended, as we've just read, refer to himself as the light, not a light, the light. He said, I have come into the world as light so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. In him, we not only have the light of salvation, but the only light by which we can find our way, his way, through our world's spiritual darkness. We know throughout the Gospel of John, and it's only in the Gospel of John, that he makes 7 times those powerful I am statements. He echoes the words of Moses, of God to Moses, in Exodus 3, When Moses asks who he shall say has sent him to Israel, God tells Moses to tell the people, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And this phrase is so simple in some ways. Have you ever sat and just tried to think out what that actually means? I am. My head nearly exploded. It's the simplest expression of God's nature. He just is. He just was, he is now, and he will be. And if you try and sit there and try and work that one out, good luck. When Jesus uses this phrasing, he's deliberately invoking that same essence, that same point to the unique divine identity and purpose that he has. In declaring himself to be the light of the world, Jesus was claiming that he is the exclusive source of spiritual light. The world, as we know, will look to other sources, will try to find the meaning of life in all sorts of other things. But no other source of spiritual truth is available to humankind. That metaphor that's used by our Lord in that verse speaks of the light of his truth, the light of his word, the light of eternal life. Those who perceive that true light will never walk in spiritual darkness. We place a candle, don't we, sometimes in a room to dismiss the darkness. It's amazing, isn't it, how much a little candlelight can suddenly bring light into that space. The light of Jesus Christ has to be taken into the darkness of sin that overwhelms our hearts and lives of each and every one of us, but more, even more so, those who are not following him. That's the condition behind having his light, that we follow him. Because if we don't, then we will not have that light, his truth, that eternal life. In some ways, it is good that we celebrate Christmas in December. Just adding, December. Why December? And people often have this conversation, well, was Jesus born on the 25th of December? No. It is a combination of Christian tradition and the influence of those pre-existing pagan festivals attributed to and including the Roman solstice. One Christian tradition even places Jesus' conception on March the 25th. 9 months before the December the 25th that we celebrate. Others have placed it, and most people suggest that Jesus was born in September. We don't know, because the Bible doesn't tell us. We can make lots of assumptions, because the shepherds were on the hills, and people have done a lot of work to try and work out what that exactly meant. But I don't know about you, when the streets start getting lit up, and the houses get lit up, for Christmas, it definitely lifts my spirits. And it wouldn't look the same, would it, on, you know, August the 25th or July the 25th. We'd be waiting till like midnight to get any sort of source of light. So I'm glad that December the 25th is Christmas. And we have to remember always that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. In doing so, he fulfilled those Old Testament promises of the coming of the light of salvation and the light of God. That's why I read from Psalm 27 earlier. As I said, that theme of light goes all the way through our Bible. And it might be a familiar phrase to some of us, but what does it actually mean for us today? We'll read, I'm sure, many times leading up to Christmas Day, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, he refers to the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. At Bethlehem, knowing the danger, God gave the command and commission to Jesus to go and light up the world. Jesus was born. A new and radiant light began to shine, pushing back the darkness of the world, of that spiritual ignorance and of sin and of despair. That's why we are to be happy, even when we don't always feel it. In his letter, John wrote, "The darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." When Jesus, the Saviour, entered the world, it was like the sunrise breaking radiantly over the horizon of human history. I'd like to say those were my words, but they are actually Zechariah's in the song that we shared on Friday. And in immeasurable grace, God allowed his Son to die on the cross to save us from our eternal darkness. As I was reflecting on the effects of light, I was reminded of its influence when I'm drawing or painting a picture. We often hear how it affects the artist's view. They tell you a scene changes as the light moves. They have to create quickly as the light moves around, changing all that it touches. Or the impact a well-placed daub of colour can enhance an otherwise dark background. It helped me to understand better the effect Jesus has from birth and in the lives of believers. A light was placed in the sin-darkened world. Let us remember again how much brighter this world is because Jesus came into it. As John testifies in chapter 1, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." His words led us out of darkness into the light of God's truth. They fulfill his promise. "Whoever follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life," we read. And because Jesus is the light of the world, we don't need to be in the dark about God and his promises. Those who follow Christ in truth may stumble into darkness, but they will never continually walk in it. Following Jesus is the condition of two promises that we read in that one verse. First, his followers will never walk in darkness, which is a reference to the assurance of salvation that we enjoy. As true followers of the light, we will never follow the ways of sin, never live in a state of continually sinning. Rather, we repent of our sin in order that we stay close to the light of the world. And the second is that we reflect the light of life. Just as Jesus came as the light of the world, he commands us to be lights too. You feeling bright this morning? I would say some of you are on a dimmer switch personally, but in Matthew 5, we see believers depicted as the light to the world. Just as the moon has no light of its own, reflecting the light of the sun, so are believers to reflect the light of Christ so that all can see that he is in us. The light is evident to others as a credible and obvious witness in the world that shows us to be faithful and by the good deeds that we do in faith and through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Our prayer should be that they too may leave the darkness and come in to the light. Perhaps that's something we could think about as we head towards that time again. See, I'm still not going to say the C word. That we would think, who can we be lights to over this nearly coming Advent season? Ask God to show us how we can be lights and who we can be lights to. The world around us is dark with spiritual ignorance. You can tell by the conversations that you have. Multitudes of people, the futility of their existence leads to silent despair. You'll be reassured to know that we can't single-handedly drive back the darkness everywhere, but we can do something significant. We can let our saved Christ-ignited light shine as lanterns of light. Our Saviour himself commands us, in the same way, "Let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So, instead of lamenting the darkness, we can show the way to those around us. As Christ shines through us, the lost stumbling, its spiritual darkness will be attracted to him. like moths to a light, to the one who is the light of the world. We remember that the smallest light still shines in the darkest night. Have we seen God's light displayed in our broken world? Then we need to share when Jesus enters into what we do and show us how to shine for him. We start now. Okay, I'm giving you 2 weeks advance warning. We're starting now as lights in our community, despite the barrage of negativity that seeks to overwhelm us. Let's embrace what we have and be lights in the darkness, filled with Jesus, who said, "I am the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in the darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in." And I read some words by a person called Malcolm Gait. "I am the light of the world. I see your world in light that shines behind me, lit by a sun whose rays I cannot see. The smallest gleam of light still seems to find me, or find the child who's hiding deep inside me. I see your light reflected in the water, or kindled suddenly in someone's eyes. It shimmers through the living leaves of summer, or spills from silver veins in leaden skies. It gathers in the candles that we light. It concentrates its tiny drops of dew. At times it sings for joy, at times it whispers. But all the time it calls me back to you. I follow you upstream through this dark night. My saviour, source and spring, my life and my light." Let's pray. Jesus, you are the light of the world. Shine your light in us today. Chase away the darkness of sin, the darkness of fear and doubt and despair. Fill us with the light of your truth, your word. Produce in each of us the fruit of righteousness, the evidence that your Holy Spirit lives in us, that he works in us, that he works through us. Teach us what is pleasing to you. Make each one of us a shining example of your amazing grace, redeeming love, and life-changing power. May others be drawn to you through us. Amen. So we'll sing number 1072, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found."
Thank you.
Let's pray. Lord, send us into your world of pain and sorrow, of weakness and despair. Send us out in the name of Christ, who is the light of the world. Send us in the power of his Spirit and filled with your love and your light and your hope, that lives may be touched by your grace and changed through your power. Amen.